night and welcome to Echoes of Glory, Season 8, Episode 26. I'm Jack.
And I'm Kevin.
And to start the show tonight, the opening question is, if you had to create a Spurs team to take on and beat Sir Alex's treble-winning Man United side, what would that team be and why? Off you go, no pressure, off you go.
It's a difficult one because you've got to try and set the right players to combat what they were putting out on their team.
So that United side, which traditionally played 4-4-2 formation, was Peter Schmeichel in goal, a back four of Gary Neville, Jaap Stam, Ronnie Johnson and Dennis Irwin, midfield of Beckham, Scholes, Keane and Giggs, with York and Cole up front. Not a bad side, and no, Solskjaer and Sheringham off the bench.
It's not bad, but I still think the defence is not that great.
This is the side that won the treble.
I know, but when you think they then brought in Rio Ferdinand and players like that, they kind of upgraded them.
You'd maybe argue that they had a better side and didn't win the treble. Yeah, I'd give you that. But what would your Spurs team be? So this is a Spurs side made up of players that you've seen play live for Spurs.
Yeah.
So firstly, let's start with the formation that you're going to go with to combat this United side.
I'm going to try something a bit. I'm going to play a 4-1-4-1.
Okay, so an extra body in the midfield.
Yeah, an extra body in the midfield.
Okay, let's start with your goalkeeper then, and then just tell us who you've selected and why you've selected them.
I'm going to go Paul Robinson in goal, and the only reason is for the kicking, because I want to try and catch him on the break, so I want to get the ball out of feet quite quickly.
Okay, so Robbo's your goalkeeper. Slightly left field one, that, considering Loris, Pat Jennings.
It's purely on because he could kick the ball, and the tactic would be to try and get rid of the ball quickly down the field.
Fine. Okay. Let's start with right back then.
I'm going with Cole Walker because, again, a pace up and down, that's what you need. I think that, you know, you've got Giggs up against you. I still don't think Walker's the greatest defender, but his pace helps him.
Okay, and then the other fullback.
I've got Danny Rose again for the same reason.
So two of our modern day fullbacks.
Yeah, it's difficult to compare old 80s teams with the modern teams. So I've got a lot of kind of a few more current players. I've tried to put a few older players in as well, but current players.
How does Danny Rose compare as left back versus other fullbacks that you've seen? Is he up there with one of the best you've seen for Spurs?
I think he is for Spurs. I've always liked Cyril Knowles. Now, he goes back to the 70s, and he was a great, a wonderful player.
Why has Rose got in ahead of him?
Just for the pace, and it's the modern type of thing. You don't know these players would have got in modern eras, so to speak. Mm. So that's why I've gone with Rose, and again with the pace. And I think that, you know, the form he showed a couple of years ago, I think he's been reproducing that in recent weeks as well.
And then your centre half, so let's have both of them.
Richard Gough and Ledley King. Again, I'll always include Richard Gough, and I know there's...
So Richard Gough comes up quite a lot. For people that saw him live, he's held in an extremely high regard as one of the best centre-halves that Spurs have had.
One season he played at Spurs, that was all.
Mm. And what attributes did he have? Like what would make him perfect for this team?
I think leadership and things like that. He wasn't captain at the time because the great Gary Mabbott was captain. But I think, you know, if you had him as a long-term, you know, a quality player, quite similar to Toby Alderweireld.
And if you said to your other...
Ledley King, definitely.
So that partnership up against York and Cole, you'd be confident...
Yeah, it's a bit of pace in it as well. King was quick, even with one knee, he was still quick. Gough gives you a little bit of the height as well, because you're going to get the ball coming in, he's always in the right position. The ball's, you know, Man United always used to play that, get the ball in wide, and then not necessarily across the 6-yard box, usually across the penalty box, you know, penalty spot and things like that.
Okay, so let's move on to midfield then. So you're playing a 4-1-4-1, so who's your holding midfielder?
I'm going with Graham Roberts as my holding midfielder, because I think you need someone that's going to put their foot in with Roy Keane around. And because of the other players, I've got a couple of flair players as well. I think you just need the balance right.
Okay,
you know?
So Graham Roberts sat in front of back four. Yep. Then if we go right to left, who's your right midfielder?
So I've got Darren Anderton. I found this difficult, actually. I was thinking of Aaron Lennon, possibly. We were talking about it earlier. I think Anderton, again, he got enough pace and he weren't frightened of putting a shift in. He'd go up and down, and I think you need that as well. And it just gives that little bit more a bit more of a bite in midfield, so to speak, I think.
And again, the United left side is Giggs and Irwin, so it's going to be relentless. Yeah. For 90 minutes, Giggs is going to be running at you.
I'd fancy Anderton up against Irwin. And Alex Ferguson was a big fan of Anderton because he tried to sign him on a couple of occasions.
Good set-piece delivery as well.
Yeah.
Darren Anderton. Yeah. Okay, central midfielders.
Definitely Gazza, you know, because again, he would fight fire, you know, with fire, so to speak. He's good on the tackle. He's quite aggressive in the way he played. The other midfielder, I thought long and hard with. Obviously, I've had to put Glenn Hoddle in because I'd never forgive myself if I didn't. But Modric come quite close just in this for me, and maybe just, but Glenn's the best player I've ever seen, so I've got to include
him. So why were you contemplating potentially leaving Hoddle out of this?
It's a modern day thing, I suppose, the pace and that. But Glenn might not have had the pace, but he'd certainly got, you know, if you're looking at getting the ball out quick, saying about Robbo kicking it out quick, you want to, you know, you hope that, say, the likes of Roberts would win the ball, give it to Hoddle, and then he'd look then for the front players coming forward.
And then off the left?
He'd got to have Bale off the left. I mean, you know, even when Rio Ferdinand was playing for Man United, we see him destroy Rio Ferdinand. Yeah. He's the best left-handed, you know, left-sided midfielder I've seen at Spurs. And that's why you have to include him. And he's modern day as well, which I think makes it slightly easier.
Which leaves then at one position left, which is just centre-forward. Now, you've been blessed with seeing a lot of top strikers play for Spurs. Yeah. But was this an easy decision?
Again, it's more modern day. I think Jürgen Klinsmann could play the role, and he was a quality player. But I think because of the way that Kane plays in that role, I think you've then got players coming in off of him. Again, it's more modern day. You don't know how the older players would have coped with that team. You know, you could say, oh, we'll have Jimmy Greaves playing up front, or Martin Chivers or someone like that. But I think it's more of a modern day. You've got to be a bit more mobile.
So Kane's your man, but Jürgen pushed him quite close.
Very close. Yeah, it was a difficult one. And yeah, I was thinking that. And you needed someone who's got good in the air, a bit of pace. Because, you know, if you're looking at attacking them with Anderton and Bale, you need someone who gets up there quite quickly to help them out. So that's why I've gone with that. It's a really, really difficult one. You know, admittedly, I didn't do a lot of prep on it. I threw it together pretty sharp.
But what I like about this is, that's not necessarily the best team that you would ever see, but that is the side that you think would do the most damage against that treble-winning United side.
I do think that the current Spurs team, at full strength in its entirety, would give that team a really good run for their money.
But probably lose 3-0. No, you know,
maybe.
That
I think
just that United side.
I think going forward, we would cause them a lot of problems.
The quality in their midfield, though, is just. I think Beckham, Scholes, King, Giggs.
I think Paul Scholes is a very underrated player. I know we all love him and that, but I think the way he used to go about, and he weren't frightened of putting a tackle in, and he'd get involved in the nasty side of the game as well.
Of course he would.
And but Roy Keane, isn't he?
Yeah. You know? And then you think about the other players that they also had as well in that team. I mentioned Solskjaer and Teddy Sheringham. Nicky Butt, again, massively underrated midfielder. Yeah. He would have been horrible to play against. Absolutely horrible.
It's strange when you think back you know, when you read the team out, I thought, you know, was that the greatest team ever? Was that a treble? When you look at the current City team, the players they've got, and you think, you know, and it proves how hard it is. You've just got to have that ability. We've been criticising Spurs today. You've just got to have that ability to get over the line.
And I think also a big part of it is management.
Yeah.
Because you say that, but like, how defensively solid were United over those years? Yeah. Maybe not so much in that season, but over the years, even with a poor side, they were still unbelievable. I remember us playing them not too long ago at Old Trafford, and we hadn't won there for years, long time. And we went there with a pretty strong team. We had Bale, Modric, I think it was Bale, Modric, Parker, Van der Vaart. It was that side, Ledley in defence. And their midfield was Cleverley and Anderson. And they didn't really have anybody but John O'Shan, Wes Brown at the back. And I thought, I really fancied to go there and get something. Lost 3-0.
Yeah, I know.
It's just the power of Old Trafford, wasn't it, at the time, was just incredibly difficult to play against.
Yeah.
Not a bad side. Shall I tell you what mine is?
Go on then.
So, I am approaching this game with the mindset of, to beat this Man United team, you've got to do two things.
Yeah.
First one is you have to keep the ball.
Yeah.
You've got that is it. If you give them the ball for large spells, you're going to lose, and you've got to outrun them.
Yeah.
This is a game that's literally going to be down to. We're going to run through them, yeah, over the top of them. We're going to be relentless, non-stop. So yeah. I've got quite a lot of athletes in key parts of the pitch. I'm also playing a 3-4-3 formation because I think that the wing backs are going to push Giggs and Beckham back further, yeah, which means that Neville and Irwin aren't going to be able to overlap as much. And that was this United team's massive weapon.
Yeah.
Get the ball wide, either fullbacks overlapping or direct crosses in. So we're going to stop that with wing backs. So my goalkeeper, I was torn between Robinson and Lloris. Now, I know I've criticised Lloris a bit this season. My Robinson thinking was not too dissimilar to yours, actually. Yep. But then I thought, with the quality of players that United have got shooting from distance, I was a bit nervous about putting Robinson in because he got beat quite a lot of the time, the long-range shots.
That was his weakness, was the long shots, weren't it?
So I've gone with Hugo in goal. I still think he's the best goalkeeper I've seen at Spurs, even though he's had some dodgy spells this season. So he's my goalkeeper. My three centre-backs... So on the left, I've got Vertonghen. In the middle, I've got Alderweireld. And on the right, I've got King.
Mm.
What a back three. That is sensational. I'm playing Ledley on the right of the three just because I think he would be more comfortable getting drawn into wider areas. If he's got to go and engage with Giggs in a 1v1, I think he could deal with that slightly a bit better than it's what
Toby would. Quite similar to the setup we've had with Sanchez playing as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's very similar because Sanchez reminds me a little bit of King, you know.
So that's my back three. So that is all players who are, first, they're out-and-out defenders. Mm. They put their body on the line. They're strong. They're aggressive. Great footballers as well. And the two guys, Vertonghen and King, are fairly mobile and could deal with being in full-back positions. My wing-backs... are on the right Walker and on the left Rose, so the same as you.
Yeah.
Reason being, first and foremost, terrific athletes, absolutely sensational athletes. They are going to run for 90 minutes and be relentless. And up against Beckham and Giggs, you've got to have that. Got two central midfielders. So these are two players that I'm sticking in the middle of the park to keep the ball.
Yeah.
And when we win it back, because my aim is we're going to make this game as fast-paced as possible and make it a real slog. So when we do win it back, we've got to keep it. We've got to protect possession. So I've got Modric alongside Michael Carrick in the middle. Two players that never give the ball away. Always play forward. Modric can carry the ball as well. He'll dribble and go past people. Carrick will sit in there with a lot more defensive awareness than Modric. Yeah. One of the best interceptors of a pass that there's been in the Premier League. Honestly, a sensational player. You don't play that many games for Man United and win as many trophies as you do without being a top player. So they're my two central midfielders. Then I'm playing with two number 10s, really, but they can also, you know, vacate wide positions or play close to the striker. So my right hand side-ish number 10 is Dele.
Yeah.
For me, he's one of the best players that's ever played for Tottenham. I genuinely believe
I think he's a sensational
and
player.
I think we'll look back in 15 years' time, or however long he's with us, and think, wow, this guy is genuinely one of the best we've ever had.
He's the best young player I've seen since Gazza. And Gazza goes back to 89. So, you know, you're going back 20 years.
And this is a guy that can play... So the reason... It is in my team for a number of reasons.
30 years, cool.
Firstly, goals. That's what he does. He gets goals, he gets assists. Secondly, he's got that horrible side to him.
Big game player.
Big game player. He won't be afraid to. If Keenan's goals are getting on it and we're struggling in the middle, he'll just go and sit in the midfield. And you're telling me he wouldn't be able to wind Roy Keane up to the point of a yellow card?
Well, Roy Keane could wind himself up, couldn't he?
So he's my first one. Then my other player playing in the 10 position is Bale.
Mm.
Really just destructive pace. It's just terrifying. So he's there to combat the United right side, which is Beckham and...
Yeah.
Neville, which was difficult. And again, if I've got Rose and Bale's getting out there defensively, that's brilliant. And the thought of Bale running at Neville for 90 minutes is, you know, there's only one winner there. But also him taking up slightly more.
Neville used to struggle against Ginola.
Yeah, but Bale was well in this position, taking up a slightly more central position and running at centre half, which, you know, when he had that brilliant season under AVB, and he was in the middle of the pitch just dominating games. So them two playing behind Kane would just be, I mean, what a front three that would be. And I genuinely think, I think that Tottenham team, that style of play, wouldn't just beat that Sir Alex team. I think that team would win the Champions League. I really do. I think that is a team that has got absolutely everything. It's got goals, it's got aggression, it's physical, but it's got the quality of Modric and Carrick in the middle to just dictate play. Sensational side.
I think if you could shoehorn Modric and Bale into the current Spurs team, then we could win the league with that team.
So there we go. So we've taken slightly different approaches with it. You've gone with the extra man in the middle.
Yeah, it's a bit of fun.
I put this out on social media earlier, actually, so I've got some really good responses. So Hanick on Twitter, he's also gone with wing-backs. He's gone with Loris in goal. Three centre-halves of King, Sanchez and Vertonghen. Yeah. So no Alderweireld, which was interesting. Walker and Rose as his wing-backs. Then three central midfielders. So Modric, Dembele and Dele Alli.
Yeah.
And then Son playing just behind Kane. With his game plan, which he added,
keep the ball,
to control the midfield, cancel out the wingers, outnumber the attackers, hit them on the counter.
That's
this is a bit of inner football manager coming out there.
That's good. That's good.
I put this out on Reddit as well. So TanV91 said, from the modern era, 4-2-3-1.
Yeah.
Loris in goal, Walker, King, Vertonghen, Rose.
Yeah.
Modric, Dembele, Bale, Eriksen, Son, Kane. He said this team will win everything. Dele Alli, which. Yeah. It's a slightly controversial one for me.
He's got Eriksen instead, hasn't he?
But yeah, I mean, it's still a pretty decent side. Gus on Reddit said, Paul Robinson in goal.
Yeah, okay.
Walker, King, Alderweireld, Vertonghen, Rose.
Yeah.
So the same back
same,
five
same
I've
idea,
had.
Yeah.
Parker and Modric.
Same Scott Parker bit early, isn't we? Yeah.
Bale, Eriksen, Kane. That's a front three.
Okay, yeah.
So a few people going for wing-backs and going for that bit of aggression in there. Chicken-O on Reddit has said, Loris in goal. So this is a 4-2-2-2 formation.
Yeah.
Loris in goal. Carr, King, Vertonghen, Rose as his defence. Modric, Dembele, central midfield. Bale and Ginola wide. Kane and Greaves up top. And I said, can't leave out Ginola versus that United team.
Yeah, he's great, but he's a bit of a luxury, you know. He's not going to do the donkey work in getting back for you, is he?
Centimilio has gone with a 4-1-3-2 formation.
Okay.
Loris in goal. Walker, King, Vertonghen, Rose. A very popular defence, that. Dembele at the base of the midfield. Then Bale, Modric, Gascoigne, Kane, Berbatov.
Berbatov, yeah. I suppose against that Man United team, if you went through a 4-4-4 formation...
4-4-4.
Yeah, if you've got two extra players, you're guaranteed to beat them, aren't you?
What are you? So some great sides there. On Facebook, Carl Woodbridge, friend of the show, Carl Woodbridge, said, he'd buy the 1999 Man United first team squad and then Spurs would have won the treble. and at the time, not sell them Sheringham. So there
that is a very good point, because, you know, that was the start of getting rid of your better players, weren't it? You know, £3.5 million they sold him for. You know, ridiculous.
So there we go. There are our teams that
we think
combat that United treble winning side. So let us know what you think of those teams. And if you've got any suggestions, then tweet us at @EchoesOfGlory. We've got one game to review, actually, we've got two games to review, actually, which we haven't got around to doing. Firstly is the Dortmund game.
Yeah.
Which feels like ages ago already. What a sensational night that was. I mean, just quickly, a quick summary of how you felt that game went.
I thought it was absolutely superb. I thought we played it brilliantly. I couldn't believe it at half time in that game. There's a lot of people moaning around the ground at half time, and I'm thinking, you know, it's a 3-hour match. You haven't got to win it in the first 45 minutes. You've got to be patient, you know, and any win and not conceding a goal would have been a good result. But to then go out and win 3-0. I thought the substitutions that night from Potter were magnificent. Everyone was absolutely magnificent. And think, we didn't have Kane playing either. You know, it's unbelievable, really. Absolutely sensational performance from the whole team. I don't think it was one player on the pitch who didn't have a bad game.
What did you think of Vertonghen playing as a wing-back?
I think technically, he's such a gifted footballer. And he deserved to get man of the match, and he got, I think, the European man of the match, didn't he, for the week. Yeah, player of the week. He was superb, and when you look at his goal, and I've watched the game back, where he goes forward first of all, and then we lose the ball, and then he's getting ready to sprint back, and then we win it back, and then he sprints right back into the position again, And when you think that's like, you know, with 7-8 minutes to go, absolutely superb. And the Llorente header, I mean, that was a great set piece. You know, Toby Alderweireld was there as the dummy run, and the ball, for once, Eriksen got a really good ball in. It was an absolute superb night.
And the atmosphere in Wembley was brilliant.
It was brilliant because it was, you know, pretty full, weren't it? I think it was 70,000 plus. Everyone got behind the team. It was a fantastic night. And, it, you know, obviously, I'd be bitterly disappointed if we don't get through from here.
Yeah.
But it'd be great because, you know, if we can get through to the quarters, there's still one or two ties and you look and you think, oh, I fancy that. I think we can beat anyone. The only... City and Liverpool are the two teams I'd want to avoid.
I think, firstly, 3-0.
We've got to get through first.
3-0 is sensational. I was just going to say that. It's 3-0. This tie's not over.
No, of course it's not.
Look, if you can sit there and say that you don't think Dortmund could do to us what we did to them, they could. So we've got to go out there. We've got to play well.
And we go back to the Inter Milan, don't we, a few seasons ago in the Thursday Cup.
Exactly. You know. And all these sides are top, top sides. Yeah. And if I'd have said to you before that first leg, do you reckon Dortmund could beat you 3-0 in Germany? You'd say, oh, we'd have to play pretty poorly, but they probably could. Yeah. So it's not over. We're in a sensational position.
Couple early goals for them, you know, opens it up. But then if we get a chance and Barrett, Kane will be playing. So, you know.
It's the case of, if we score, we'd have to, you know, be absolutely shocking.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean we should approach it by going gun-ho to try and get an away goal. We're 3-0 up, you play on the break.
Play exactly the same way as we played the first game. Keep the ball, silent the crowd, don't give away anything stupid
no
early
red cards
on.
No red cards or penalties.
Games can change. I mean, we see Barcelona even throw away a 3-goal lead last year,
didn't we?
So,
it happens.
You know, for them to... You know, it's a strange one. And Liverpool in the semi nearly lost the 3-goal lead.
Yeah.
You know, they scraped through on the away goal rule in the end, didn't they?
Yeah. So fingers crossed we get the job done there in Germany. And then the Burnley game. So it was, we came crashing back down to earth with that. So,
yeah, we had a 10-day break, didn't we? Which is a bit unusual for us nowadays. You know, we usually play about 4 games in 10 days, usually.
Yeah, it was a great podcast last week. So if you haven't had a chance to listen to it, it was episode titled Turf Moor, but I was joined by Burnley fan and friend John, who's been supporting Burnley for a number of years and was just telling us about how he got into football. So it was really interesting to chat.
So a bit different for a change,
a supporter that, you know, was there when they were right down the bottom and about to go out of business to now, you know, they're up in the Premier League. So if you haven't given that a listen, go back through and have a listen to that. I was confident going into Burnley that we'd get the win, you know, with Kane coming back. I just thought, I couldn't see us going there and not winning. That's just how good we are now, that I see us winning every game we play. It was disappointing.
We just didn't play well all over the pitch. We didn't create enough chances. I don't think we was aggressive enough in midfield. You know they're going to play. They're going to come at you. I mean, Liverpool were moaning early in the season about the tackles flying in. You just got to be confident on the ball. Ping the ball around a bit in midfield. Yeah. Run them into the ground.
I think Eric Dier was a big miss.
Yeah.
And just that... what he brings to the side. So we talk about Harry Winks quite a lot. Dortmund, he was sensational. We probably should have mentioned how good he was against Dortmund. And those type of games where it's a high press and it's the real top end of technical football suits him down to the ground.
Yeah.
Where he has to receive the ball under pressure and it's that kind of game, he's sensational because he can do it. But then on the flip side, this is a different kind of pressure. Where Burnley press you, they do, but they don't just sit and defend the box. They press you high up, but they're a lot more aggressive and physical, and they make everything a 50-50.
Yeah,
every single ball.
Yeah,
which for Winks then playing in that position where he's the pivot and needs to come and get on the ball, the game's a lot different to what it was for Dortmund. And I think these are the games where. I'm a massive fan of Harry Winks, but this is for me where you need Dier, and whether or not he's ever going to get back fit again, a Wanyama, that physical presence where you can play the ball into him and they can hold it. And it's not necessarily about having a turning match, you keep hold of the ball.
Yeah.
You know how Dembele used to, you play into his feet and he just wouldn't lose it. He'd keep it and he'd get a little turn on and then we'd play.
I think Winks struggles
in those kind of games that are more physical than they are technical.
I think what was disappointing was that after getting back to 1-0, it wasn't a corner, but we nicked 5 yards on our goal. But that's what we should be doing. We don't do that enough. And what disappointed me was that we didn't then go on and win the game, because there was half an hour of the game left and we never looked like winning the game from then on. And when they scored, we didn't even... I mean, Lamella had a half chance. Yeah. You know, it's a shame that didn't fall to Llorente. It was disappointing, especially with Liverpool dropping points at the weekend.
He did make positive subs, though, Pochettino. I mean, he went for it in terms of the personnel. He took Winks off and put Lamella on and went attacking. Yeah. And we just got caught on a break.
I think if you look at the last four matches, I think Liverpool have drawn three out of the last four in the league. So they've dropped 6 points. And that's the same as losing two games when you look at it like that. Yeah. You know?
So a tough one to take, the Burnley one.
Yeah, disappointing.
I didn't feel like we deserved to lose the game. I don't think we did enough to win.
No.
I don't really think either team did a lot.
No.
I think both teams, especially at 1-1, were probably thinking the draw's not too sad here. And there just wasn't a lot of quality in the game.
It just weren't our day, was it? You know,
not quite. But then it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because when Lamella came on for Winks, I sat there and said, fair play, we're going for it.
Yeah.
And it's whether or not, you know, on some days, do you just say, okay, you know what, we'll take the point.
Yeah.
But then we wouldn't have then nicked all them games late on that we did. So it's a tough one, isn't it?
You've got to be positive, you know, if you want to be up there. It's no good, you know. We've seen Mourinho at Man United, you know, being cautious, and you see what a difference it makes, then they've gone a bit gung-ho.
We've got two games this week, two fairly big games this week, starting tomorrow night with Chelsea at Stamford Bridge, where we won last season, went there and won 3-1, and we were sensational that night. Yep. We've already beaten them twice this season as well. Okay, both times at Wembley. They're in absolute turmoil at the moment. Sarri's future's being questioned every single day. They played extra time at the weekend and lost the cup final. There's all the controversy surrounding Kepa and refusing to come off.
That was farcical.
All of that, and Sarri's now come out and apologised. Kepa's come out and apologised. Yeah. And it's an absolute... it's a circus.
It's typical Chelsea.
It's embarrassing, really, what's going on.
Yeah, they're an embarrassment as a football club.
So,
but they still get over the line. That's the frustrating.
Good time for us to play them then.
Oh, it is and it isn't, because it's one of their big games of the season. If you reverse roles and said that was us in that situation and we were at home to Chelsea tomorrow night, we'd be relishing the fact of playing them.
Yeah.
So I think for them it's a good game. The crowd would be up for it. I think if they were playing, say, Bournemouth at home or something like that, there'd be a lot of negativity. But they'd be up for this game.
I'll tell you what,
it'd be a really, really hard game.
What it reminds me of. You sitting there on the flip side. Do you remember when we lost to Portsmouth in the semi-final of the Cup?
And then we beat Chelsea and Arsenal, and then Chelsea, didn't we, in the following week.
And you think about how down we felt.
Yeah. And it was the first time we'd beat Arsenal in about, for ages, weren't it?
It was the Danny Rose...
Yeah.
The Danny Rose volley.
And the save from Van Persie from the free kick from Gomez.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah. So what do we think then tomorrow night at the Bridge?
Do you know what? These two, if we get a draw tomorrow and then win at the weekend, I think it'd be a good week.
So if I leaving Arsenal out, if I offered you a draw tomorrow night, would you take that?
I probably would, actually.
Okay.
I don't think it's about, and I think it's important, if we could go there two seasons without losing, I think it's quite important.
See, I don't think I would take a draw for tomorrow night. I think that this is the type of game that if you want to be genuinely, if you want to be in and around winning the league, you've got to go there and win.
We can't afford to drop any more points. If the problem we've got is we're 6 points behind both them teams at the top, so we need them both to slip up. It's going to be difficult.
Maybe. You know? You genuinely, you never know. It's a case of, you know, Liverpool playing Watford.
Watford are a dangerous team.
They are, but the Premier League is such a competitive league.
Yeah.
What's saying, and it wouldn't be likely, but Watford could go there and win.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, if Watford go there and win, we beat Chelsea. We're 3 points off.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden we're right back in it.
Yeah.
So it's really is.
But then you've got the other side. They win, we lose, and 9 points behind. And I think then we're too far behind.
And then all of a sudden you're panicking about top four. So it's so tight at the moment. Whilst I wouldn't take a draw, I think it will be tomorrow. I think it will be a game that will go out similarly to what the first leg of the League Cup was, where it's two teams really cancelling each other out. I could see that tomorrow. But we'll see. Harry came back for it again, you know, like he was great against Burnley, considering how long he's been out for.
It usually takes him a few games to kind of get up the speed again, but he was right on it, weren't he?
And then on Saturday, lunchtime kickoff, Arsenal at home, sell out at Wembley. That is going to be sensational. The atmosphere there last year when we beat him 1-0 was just brilliant.
I think, it's another really hard game. I think it's important. I mean, if we can go out and win both these games, you know, top four is pretty well in the bag.
If we take 6 points from this week, third's guaranteed.
Oh, yeah. I'll be hugely disappointed if we don't finish in the top three this year. I mean, we'd have to play really poorly between now and the end of the season. And we've got a lot of winnable games. We've got some hard games, but we've got a lot of winnable games
It's an incredibly tight league at the moment. Liverpool or Everton at the weekend. I know Everton are a poor, poor team.
It's a hard game.
But think back to when we were a poor side and we used to play Arsenal. Yeah. And at White Hart Lane, all right, we didn't win many, but we didn't lose many. So it won't be an easy game.
It's no different to when we've got to play West Ham towards the end of the season at home. Yeah. That's always a hard game for us because you know they're up for it. You know, it's we've got a few hard games. We've got winnable games in between. We're at Southampton in a few weeks, and they're in disarray at the moment. Mm. That's so hopefully we can pick up points in these games, and then like we've done all season, generally win the easy games.
Score prediction for Arsenal?
3-1.
I'm going to 2-0.
3-1. I'd like to have more than a one goal win.
It never is.
It's never enjoyable when you're there. If you win, you can watch it back and then it's more enjoyable. Hopefully, as you said, Jack, we can all get behind the team and it'll be a really good. And it's nice because, your brother's going as well. The three of us are going. It'd be good. I'm really looking forward to it.
The Arsenal game is almost... The further in front you get in the match, the more you hate it.
Yeah.
Because when you're losing, it's just a case of, it's done.
Yeah.
We're not going to come back. I don't have to be emotional. I can emotionally detach myself. When you're 1-0 up or 2-0 up, you're thinking, we're on the verge of battering them here. The feeling is worse. But like you said, that feeling when you play them is just, it's on another level. And when goals go in, it's just, noise is incredible.
Let's hope Koscielny's fit and playing for them.
Hopefully.
That'll help us out.
That'll be a massive boost for us.
They're dangerous going forward. They've got some good forwards. There's no doubt about it.
They always have been.
But then we're dangerous going forward. All we've got to do is, I always say, not give away anything stupid, silly individual mistakes. Play our game. We're better than them. We should beat them.
We'll see what happens for that one. Sam Diggins has messaged us on Facebook and said, with what happened with the substitution of Kepa in the League Cup final, what do you think Poch would have done?
God, I don't think we'd have ever been in that situation, because I think if Poch would have called Lloris to come off for whatever reason, he'd have come off. Yeah. And I think as the club captain, I mean, it was one of the most farcical things I've ever seen. I mean, I wouldn't have hesitated maybe to put the other keeper on for penalties, because he's pretty good on the penalties. Mm. Whether that was their thinking, I don't know. All the City players know him, and they would have all been worried about him. Yeah. And I think psychological, that would have been a good move.
Would you have then, as a City player, have been thinking, oh, he knows a lot, put him up hands? Yeah, you try something different. It's just another thing to
think and you might try something a bit fancier.
Yeah.
To me, you're taking a penalty. If you're strong on one side, go with that side, because you put enough power on it. I mean, there were some great penalties at the weekend.
The Sterling one.
Yeah, and there were some terrible penalties.
And to be fair, how good was the Hazard penalty?
Oh,
when he knew if he missed, they were done. Just dink it down the middle. Yeah. Unbelievable.
That's quality, isn't it?
So thanks, Sam, for that. It's time now for the We Are Tottenham Hotspur quiz.
We are about the glory of the game. We are about playing with style. We are Tottenham Hotspur.
So what I'll do is I'll give you a game that Spurs have been involved in. I'll give you the date, and then I'll name you about half of the starting 11 from Spurs.
I'm usually terrible at this. And then absolutely terrible.
You can have a stab in the dark over the rest of the players' work.
I'll be guessing probably to midnight.
So this one is Tottenham 5, Chelsea 1.
Wednesday
the 23rd of January 2002. So in goal for Tottenham that night is a question mark.
So this is the semi-final?
Semi-final.
Yeah.
In goals, a question mark. I mean, sort of playing right back, sort of in that game, was Chris Perry.
Jesus.
Centre-back, Ledley King.
Yeah.
Centre-back, question mark.
Yeah.
Left-back, Maurizio Tirico.
God.
Absolutely diabolical.
Yeah.
Midfield, right-hand side of midfield, Simon Davis.
Yeah.
Or he was probably off the left, but anyway. Other wide midfielder was Darren Anderton.
Yeah.
Two centre midfielders are question marks.
Yeah.
Two centre forwards. First one's Teddy Sheringham.
Yeah.
And the other one is a question mark. So I need from you goalkeeper, centre back, two centre midfielders, and centre forward.
And when we're going back to 2002, is it?
2002.
Wow. Really?
So do you remember, were you there firstly that
goalkeeper
night?
I've got a funny feeling. No, I wasn't there. I was watching it on TV. I think it was when you two were young and money was tight and we couldn't afford any additional games, because I think knowing Levy had been a category A and he'd want 30, 40 quid off you. Goalkeeper, Ian Walker?
Wasn't Ian Walker.
It's too early for Robbo, isn't it?
Too early for Robbo. This guy playing golf for Tottenham was a brilliant goalkeeper.
Good at Cheney.
Absolutely brilliant. Was at Chelsea. A real, real excellent keeper. Move on. We'll come back.
Okay.
We'll come back to it. Okay. It's a centre back. So this guy was playing alongside Ledley in the centre of defence.
Judas had gone. He went the year before. Judas had gone. Bit early for Dawson, I think.
Bit early for Dawson, it was.
Are we good? Bit early for Tony Gardner.
Tony Gardner.
Tony
Gardner. There you go. He had quite a lot of promise as a young player, but he weren't great.
He had some injuries, didn't he? And
he was a lump as well, didn't he? He was ginormous. Tony Gardner. So, centre midfielders then.
2002. 17 years ago, isn't it?
Long time ago, isn't it?
It's a long time ago. You were 8 years old, Jack.
Long time ago.
I haven't really got a clue.
I'll give you some clues then. So one of the central midfielders has managed Tottenham in his non-playing days.
Okay.
And the other one is a former Chelsea player. Central midfielder, goal scoring midfielder.
Was it Gus?
Gus Poyet. Gus Poyet's your first one.
And the other one, so he's managed Tottenham, so it's got to be. I'm just trying to think now.
I love it because you'll get it, but it's maybe not the most obvious. But when I say it, you'll go, oh God, how did I not get him? He was a good midfielder. He's won the Premier League. Premier League winner that's managed Tottenham. He was captain of the side when he won the Premier League.
Oh, Tim Sherwood.
Tactics Tim.
There in the end, yeah. Tactics Tim, yeah.
Decent player, Tim Sherwood.
So we've got Sheringham up front.
Yeah.
Chris Armstrong?
Not Chrissy Armstrong.
I'm trying to think, 2002. Stefan Iverson.
Great shout. Stefan Iverson. So that side was... We've got a goalkeeper, sorry, yeah.
And you said it's a Chelsea.
Play for Chelsea.
What, after us or before us or...?
After. I think that he left us to go to Chelsea.
Oh, my God.
Do you want the answer?
Oh, it's going to give me the answer, though, isn't it? Go on, then.
Neil Sullivan. He was a good goalkeeper.
The old Wimbledon goalie. Yeah. And he did
leave us and go to Chelsea, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he did play for them for a little while, I think.
So that side, Sullivan in goal, Perry, King, Gardner, Tirico, Davis, Poyet, Sherwood, Anderton, Sheringham, Everson.
God. And we lost the first leg 2-1, didn't we?
We battered them 5-1. Yeah, unbelievable. And that Chelsea team that had Gudicini, Desai, Terry, Petit, Lampard, Hasselbank, Johnson. Like, what? That was a great Chelsea side.
Yeah,
we got absolutely battered that night.
Just goes to show, you know, some days you just have your day, didn't you?
And derbies and the crowd being behind you, you never quite know what's going to happen.
Well, for me, that's pretty good, actually. I'm quite pleased with that.
17 years ago, there you go.
I can't remember what I did yesterday, let alone 17 years ago.
Unsurprisingly, Darren Anderton was in your...
Yeah.
There you go. And Ledley as well. That's the two of those players actually ended up in your...
Yeah, in my team,
side
yeah.
that you're going to have to...
And then we lost the final to Blackburn, didn't we?
Oh, yeah. I remember that. That was awful. So there we go. So, massive week ahead for us this week.
Yes.
If we can take 6 points, that would be sensational. You'd be happy with 4. I don't know if I would take 4, just because derbies are what...
Got to beat Woolwich at the weekend. That's what it's all about. Have to beat Woolwich at the weekend.
So, enjoy both of those games. Thanks for listening. And remember, whatever happens, the future's bright. The future's lily white. Come on, you Spurs.
always thought there was very, very many people interested in football, and I always thought that football was a very important game, but I never realized until today just how important it is.
Whether the Wonder Boys of White Hart Lane are or are not the team of the century can't possibly be more than a matter of opinion.
Well, they're the finest team in Great Britain and one of the best in the world.
We are about the glory of the game. We are about playing with style. We are Tottenham Hotspur. The curve of the ball, the billow of the net, the beating of the trap and the picking of the lock, the swiftness of thought, the lightness of touch. We are Ginola, Greaves, Klinsmann. We are the collective gasp, the intake of breath, the flick, the trick, the 30-yard free kick. We are Hoddle, Mabbott and King. We are the lob, the chip, the dummy and the volley. We are the hat trick, the scissor kick. We are Bill Nick.
That is schoolboy's own stuff.
We are the outside of the boot, the inside of the net, and those seconds that last forever.
Van der Vaart to level it up. Raphael van der Vaart, 2-2! It's quite a game, isn't it always?
We are Jennings, Defoe and Perryman. Glory past, glory future. What was, what is, what's next? We are Blanchflower, Ardiles and Bale. We are about winning with a flourish. We are about winning with style. We are about the glory of the game. Daring to try, daring to risk, daring to dream. To dare is to do.
Tottenham Hotspur.